Thank you, everybody, for joining us in our second part of our class discussion of city council election coming up here in Eureka, California. Right now we have with us Marion Brady. Would you like to say hello?
Hi, good morning. Pleasure to be here.
And again, we're here at the Blue Ox Community School, where we had students prepare some questions for our local politicians. And first, we're going to go to Katie, and we're going to start with our first question.
My name is Katie, and I'm 17 years old, and my question is, what are your plans for maintaining and improving roads, pedestrian walkways, alleys, and city parks?
Well, the short answer is that because we're in such a huge budget crisis and we can't even street sweep our streets, we need to do the proactive thing, which is to bring more business here. Because this is how we fund things. Money doesn't just come out of thin air. Right? So ideally, we would have a team of people who are capable of maintaining our parks or cleaning up our gutters. As it is right now, there's going to be a lot of emphasis, I think, on self-sufficiency, on people doing things for themselves. Because right now, the state can't help us. The city can't help us. We don't have any money. We have what they call a structural deficit of $1.4 million that's going to come up next year because they robbed funds. So to speak, they took money, one-time monies, like through some loan repayments and that kind of thing, and they've put that into solving our budget crisis right now. So we're sort of okay right now, but next year we're not going to be okay. I mean, in an ideal world, we'd have a nice crew to go out and mow everything and maintain everything, but as it is, people in the Old Town area are having to go out and sweep their own street fronts and clean up, you know, weed and see to their own plantings, and this is just a part of the reality of the financial crisis that we're in right now. Self-sufficiency, you know, it's a good thing. You know, I go out and I weed my front, you know, my gutter out there, and I sweep it because the dirt builds up, and then the dirt builds up, and then the weeds think, oh, this is a happy environment for me to grow in. And so then they, you know, the next thing you know, you got all this weeds and dill stuff growing up, and it starts looking shabby. And then once it's shabby, people don't start not caring about it, and they don't care about it. They start trashing it. They break windows. They do bad things. So it's all that the whole world of maintenance is right now. There isn't a fix for it, except the one called economic development, bringing people, bringing jobs, and we have to do whatever we can to get that going. Does that sort of answer your question, you think?
Kind of, yeah.
One of the things I would personally love to see, and I think it's just really, the city just got a grant, the Trails Trust just got a grant for almost $1 million to finish a planned trail that had been a citizen-involved planning thing goes from right behind Ray's Food Market, you know where that is, all the way down to Hilfiker Lane, which is going to be a multi-use trail. Well, we need that multi-use trail to go all the way from behind here, right down here by Target, so that you could get on a bike or a skateboard or a, you know, rollerblades or whatever you want to do and go the whole length of Eureka. That would be cool. And so you have to have a vision, you have to have a dream. You know, and then so slowly you maybe be able to put it into effect. And these people waited years. In fact, I was talking to a friend who works out where I work out, and she said, I said, what happened? You know, what about this trail stuff? And she goes, well, I don't know. We worked on it for years, and we thought we had it all ready to go, and then nothing has happened. And then within like 3 months of us talking about this and her wondering what happened, and she provided me with a disc to show me what the trail plan was, this whole grant came through, so they're going to work on it. But so now you've got this little section, chukunk, and then you got a little section over here, chukunk, and then you got all the space in the middle with nothing going on, and then you got the whole area around the Halverson Park that goes all the way down to the Adorney, that whole stretch, which you can be close to the bay and you can ride, or you know, it's a good paved trail, and that's beautiful. But then you have these places where there's nothing happening. So it would be really wonderful if we could end up, and then it goes on to the whole Waterfront Drive all the way down to Del Norte. And at Del Norte, it stops and becomes the Palco Marsh. And the Palco Marsh is kind of an unsavory place to be. I've ridden my bike through it. You know, you kind of go fast, and you hope that nobody weird is out there to get you. So that would be wonderful if we could extend Waterfront Drive through there, because then at that time it would probably be really piece of cake to put the multi-use trail beside that would join up to the Truesdale, that would go all the way out to Hilfiker. Then you could just walk a little bit further and you could go out to the Elk River, and you got this gorgeous, wonderful amenity that adds to the quality of life in Eureka. So those are things that would be nice to dream about, and we will.
I think we have a question over here.
Now, whenever these trails get built, how are you going to be able to maintain keeping them clean? Well, not really clean, like as in trash-wise, but I mean bushes growing out into the road and stuff like that. I mean people shouldn't have to come out of their homes to do it because they feel like it's trashy. The city should be able to do it, right?
Well, everybody wants the city to be able to do all of the services that we need. However, because of the fact that this town has been going backwards, we've lost people. We've lost families. We've lost the whole impetus of positive development and growth. So when you're just kind of in a negative sliding back phase, how do we fund these things? You have to have people that you can pay a good wage, a living wage, to do all this work. And if we don't have the tax base, we've got a group of people that is trying to really advertise the area outside of the area, you know, to get tourists. And tourists bring the TOT money, and they bring money from elsewhere, and they spend it here, and that's a good thing. And so, you know, there's a multi-pronged approach to trying to get good things happening in Eureka. But one of the things that'll probably happen is if they did this, they would, like the trail that they're going to be doing, that's a multi-use trail. It's a major construction project. They actually have underlayment they have to do. They have to have layers of stuff because it has to be able to support wheelchairs and bicycles and, you know, heavier things and lots of things. So they designed this to be, and I'm sure they have like a berm area or whatever that's maybe got some sort of mulching kind of thing. So, but outside of that, it's wilderness. It's going to be just the way that nature is out there. So, but, you know, and like the parks, I mean, they're doing the minimum maintenance they can do on the parks. They keep the grass mowed, but maybe things start growing up. They don't have the time to manage all the finesse it. At Sequoia Park, at the zoo, they've got, you know, the ex-police chief goes out there and works on the weekends, taking care of all the plants out in the, you know, the dahlia garden and everything. He and his wife are out there working on it. So people are giving. You know, people are donating, and that's what's happening right now because we're in such a budget backlog. You know, we just don't have the guys. They just cut and cut and cut. Well, you can only cut so far until you don't even have a city left. You know, what do we have? We have nothing. So it's all about being positive and trying to get jobs and trying to get things moving. And I believe that the balloon track is one of the things that's going to be a good jump start because it's going to bring just a renewed vitality to that whole area. It's going to extend Old Town into a wonderful happening place. Hopefully those things will happen. And that's about as good an answer as I can give you. There's no panacea. There's no one fix for all of these maintenance things that we have going on in Eureka.
Instead of using the money for a trail, and you're just saying that we don't have enough money to pay people to keep our place situated, why don't you use that money to pay people to keep our city looking good?
Well, that would be ideal. However, when money comes like this, that's $1 million that they're going to be getting, $990,000-something. It's earmarked for that project. So it's not like a general fund thing that, oh, well, we can use it however we want. Mm-mm. When somebody comes up with money for trails, things, that's partially coming through people's passion about trails, that people are into that, and so they managed to find a fund or a grant, whatever, to do that. So those grants are targeted, and they just don't get to go into the general fund. And the general fund is hurting right now. So thanks.
All right. Thank you, Chris, for those follow-up questions. Next, we're going to speak with a gentleman named Joe.
Hi, I'm Joe, and I'm 16 years old. Are you willing to explore options with the public transit system, as in, you know, like more wheelchair access and expanded hours for the drivers and better bike access, you know, like the bike racks on the buses? And
well, my understanding is that we have those, you know, at least on the HTA transit system. And I'm assuming that I was back in the 70s. I'm older. I worked on the Arcata transit system. I did the designs for the Arcata bus system, the AMRTS. And in those days, that was, you know, we did commercials. It was huge, just trying to get people to think that a bus, we wanted to make that bus as cute and happy and welcoming as possible. And we did a whole campaign about it. Since then, the buses have gotten, that bus was like a little tiny dinky thing. It held about 20 people, and it was as cute as anything. But now you've got these monster big buses, and I've seen the bike racks on them. So I'm assuming that that is usable for like students that are going from Eureka to Arcata or something, and they don't want to ride their bike there. Then they, you know, they put the bike on, they take it off when they get to Arcata, and then they've got it to ride around Arcata to get to their classes and do all the stuff that they have to do. The Eureka Transit, I haven't observed that, whether they have. I don't think they have. Do you know that? Whether they don't have any kind of bike things on there. Yeah. So I don't know about what the options are. Yes? Something to add?
Bike racks on the buses in Eureka, I'd figure you don't need them in Eureka because it's not that big to get around in. Like, for instance, I ride my bike everywhere every day, and, like, it's way quicker. But I was just answering towards his question. That's it.
Okay. Yeah, so they do have it. Now, one of the things that I've always, that I'm not aware of, I noticed a bus going from Willow Creek into Arcata. And I'm assuming that there are some Outrider buses. And I have read recently that there are some plans to have more, to have better service out into the past Garberville and, you know, like that, to have some sort of, at least for, and then there's also a plan, I think, for people to volunteer to drive people as another thing, that people who have the time and the money. Do you know something about that?
Windows, because it gets hot.
The windows that open, you mean?
Yeah, because it gets really hot.
Yeah.
It gets really hot.
Yeah.
Quite a few things with the bus system. Not that we'll go into what they are now, but there is a large population that is not happy with our current bus system. And so the question would be, would you be willing to explore options for that? Especially, you know, everyone's going green, and so we need to update what we're doing with our bus systems because of that.
Right. You know, we've got all these bus systems that overlap. I mean, we've got the Arcata bus system, then we've got the HDA bus system, and then we've got the ETS bus system, and then we've got the ones, the few ones that are going out into the, out to Willow Creek. But, you know, that's only just, that's probably not the optimum to get the transportation needs met. You know, we've been a real car dependent society. I ride my bike every morning for about, I do an 8 mile round trip almost every morning, and it's not a burden to do that. I mean, I get where I want to go. Now, if I'm dragging stuff along and loading things and stuff, well, then a car is so much preferable. And then you don't have to find somebody to borrow that. But as far as biking goes, I tend to use J Street because it's got the marked bike lane. It's just a little bit wider. You know, I have people that drive by in these souped up big monster trucks. And the minute they get by you, they just rev it because they're wanting to scare you. They're wanting to throw you off the road. And you think, what is your problem? You know, and so there's a kind of a, I don't know, people think that bicyclists are some sort of subhuman species or something. And it's very irritating to have people do that. You know, these guys, they're just so macho, and they just think they're really cool because they revved or they honked their horn or they did swerved or they just really cut right close to you because they won't give you any space on the road. And I try to be a real conscientious, caring bicyclist. I signal, I stop where I'm supposed to stop. You know, a lot of times cars will sit and wait until you get to a stop sign, you stop, you dismount, and then they'll say, oh, go ahead. So now you've lost all your momentum and all. It's just irritating. So it would be great to have people more educated about the what the cars are doing to the cyclists. But and I know Rick Knapp, he's part of the, I think, the Green Wheels and the Humboldt Cycling people, and he's been real active about trying to get better markings on the roads. And right now I don't think the marking is really great for getting through Eureka avoiding 101. It seems to me that there's some places where things kind of slip through the cracks, so that's helpful. But again, you have to go where the markings are, where it takes you. So yeah, so I guess the answer about the, you know, how you end up putting your bicycle onto a bus is that they do have them for the long distance drivers. Yeah. But anyway, I don't know if I've answered the question.
All right, thank you.